Attention to our brother Gordon as he gives us the words of exhortation.
My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus said to his disciples, "Do this in remembrance of me." And Paul would come along later and he would add to it, and he would say, "For I have received this of the Lord, and I deliver it to you. Prove it." The Authorized Version has the words, "Examine yourselves." And so it's our pleasure to look this morning at the second epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians. It seems that this letter was written hard on the heels of the first letter, for they had received, obviously received the previous letter of Paul, and now news had come back that caused Paul to put his pen to the paper once again and send off another epistle. But this was a man who was indeed Jesus' man. He was the one who was selected by Jesus himself to not only just to carry on the work, but to add to it. He would strengthen. He would consolidate. He would encourage. He would exhort. He would lift up. And he would also bear in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus. His ministry knew no end. He would give himself completely. And so the words that we read from his pen are words that can only leave us with a sense of awe and leave us with a sense of great appreciation for what has been done for us by the provision of this faithful minister of the gospel. And so he would write to the Thessalonian brothers and sisters, "We are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly." And Strong's Concordance gives us a definition here of above an ordinary degree. Their faith was growing luxuriantly, as another commentator puts it. Just like a luxuriant vine that continues to grow and develop the fruit, so the Thessalonians' faith was growing. But it grew out of adversity. It grew out of persecution and affliction. But Paul had already written to this group. And he said in his previous letter, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, and not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. For you are all the children of light. You are the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness." He exulted in these brethren. He joyed at these brothers and sisters. They were a great encouragement to him. He would also write of their love. And he's again in verse 3, and the charity or the agape of each one of you all towards each other superabounds is the meaning behind that word. They didn't have an ordinary love. They had a super love. Again, it was a love born in the fire of affliction. But it was a love that truly thought beyond themselves and considered the needs of each other. And in verse 4, so that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience or endurance and faith in all your persecutions and the tribulations that you endure. They were going through much as Paul was writing these words. It wasn't an easy road for them to travel. But the one thing these brothers and sisters knew how to do, they knew how to stay together as a community in Christ. They knew what it took to grow and to develop their faith. And so he says in verse 7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with the mighty angels, or with the angels of his power. And so he was looking forward. He was looking to the time when Jesus would come with the clouds of heaven, with the clouds of angels that would come with him. The angels that are referred to at least four times in the gospel records. In Matthew 16, verse 16:27, Matthew 25:31, Matthew 26:64, and Mark 8, verse 38. Jesus would come in flaming fire. But the vengeance would be on them that know not God, and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he shall come, we are told. He shall come to be glorified in his saints, to be glorified in his holy people, and to be marveled at in all them that believed. And so these words, as Paul is so anxious to write them, they encourage us that the Lord is coming. The day is coming. We are not in darkness. That day should overtake us as a thief. Brothers and sisters, know and be assured that the kingdom is at the door. It is coming. It is going to be here soon. Let us, or who are of the day, be sober. Let us be free of all intoxicants. Let us be free of every influence that would distract us. Let us put on the breastplate of faith and love, and from helmet the hope of salvation. There are wonderful times ahead. Our Lord is about to return. He shall be admired in all them that believe. He is the one with a name that is above every name. But actually, it's not a name that is above every name, as we read that text in Philippians. God has highly exalted him. and he has given him the name that is above every name. And there is only one name that is above every other name. And that is the memorial name. And so God has given to Jesus that name. So he becomes the one who bears the characteristic name of God himself. Nothing greater could be done than what God has done with and for Jesus Christ, the one with the name. And of his coming, we read in John's epistles that we are the children of God in 1 John 3. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that, says John. We know that when he shall be manifested, when he shall be revealed, we shall be like him. And we shall see him even as he is, the exalted one, the one bearing the name of God himself. That's how we shall see him. But John, like Paul, he wants us to do more than just remember. He wants us to prove it. And so John says, and everyone that hath this hope set on him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And there's the gold standard for the brother and sister in Christ. That if our hope is set on the coming of the Lord Jesus, on the fact that we shall be like him, we must do something and do it now. We must purify ourselves. We must purge ourselves of everything that would distract us, as Paul has so clearly laid out there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The words that we just read a moment ago. That we should be free of every intoxicating influence that could come into our lives. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. And therefore, build each other up. Edify one another, even as also you do. Prove it. Wherefore, also writes Paul, we pray always for you. Always. For you. That our God would count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire of goodness and every work of faith with power. So we have a little window on what Paul prayed, on how he prayed, how often he prayed, and the things that he prayed for. And this in itself is an exhortation. And we have just enough time to take us through some of the other references that Paul gives us concerning the things that he prayed for. To the Romans he said, "For God is my witness, whom I serve in my spirit in the gospel of his Son, how unceasingly I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I may be prospered by the will of God to come unto you." There was no doubt about where the Apostle Paul wanted to be, where he wanted to spend his energy, where he wanted to spend his time, how he wanted to occupy himself. There was never any doubt concerning Paul that he would spend time for himself, that he would advance his own cause or his own pleasure. There was only one place for the apostle, with the brothers and sisters. And so, those words he wrote to the Roman brothers and sisters. He would write to the Ephesian brothers and sisters these words. "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places." And so this was also a part of Paul's prayer. So he was praying constantly for the brothers and sisters in Rome. He was praying unceasingly for the brothers and sisters in Ephesus. What else would he pray? Well, in the third chapter of Ephesians, we have this insight also. "For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inward man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." We don't see much in Paul's prayers about Paul, do we? We see much about the cause of Christ in the brothers and sisters. And he would write to the Philippian brothers and sisters, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that ye may approve the things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are through Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. No doubt where Paul's mind was. And he would write to the brothers and sisters in Colossae. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might work worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father,